Well, many of us are now back from our feast travels, and certainly, brethren, this was a challenging feast in many ways with the surge of the Delta virus that began this summer and is still carrying over. I think it's coming down somewhat now, the surge. But as I mentioned already, some of us have suffered the effects of COVID infections during the feast. We hope and pray, of course, they all recover very soon and very quickly. We had at our feast in France one person who tested positive. It was actually a six-year-old boy who was there with his mother, and he tested positive. And they had to isolate the mom and the boy in their room until they were able to go home after he tested negative. It worked that the boy had had COVID before, and very badly, actually, earlier this year. And this time he caught it again, but there were no symptoms. He was completely fine, but still he had COVID, and then he had to isolate. And our feast was interrupted somewhat because of all of that. We had to deal with that. But that was just an example of what happened at many of the sites this year. But even though we had many of these challenges at the feast this year, brethren, I think everyone is doing their best to make the most of it. In spite of all the challenges, we're doing our best. I hope all of us, in spite of all these challenges, were able to enjoy the feast in some very spiritually rich and rewarding way this year. And as we get back to our lives now, the normal pace of life is setting in. Of course, for those who are sick with the virus, that normal pace may take a little longer until they recover and return to normal as well. What do we take away from our feast experience? Well, what we've had, brethren, at the feast is a taste of the heavenly country to which we look. We pledge allegiance to another country, and we had a taste of that country to come. That is a very wonderful hope that we have. And the Feast of Tabernacles and really the whole festival season, all of the festivals help us to focus on that heavenly country to which we are looking. We fed at the feast on the Word of God. We heard sermons daily, messages daily that reminded us of this calling and helped us to help put that picture in our minds of what we're looking for. And now all of us must, from this point on, after the feast, we all have to now press on. Feast is over, we have to press on to that kingdom that we're looking for. We have to endure until the end of the age. That is what we must take away from the feast. A deepened conviction to keep that vision alive in us. And another thing we always take away from the feast, the experience of it shows us how temporary our lives today are, that what we're looking for will soon be here. Let's go to scriptures now in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, starting there today in the scriptures, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1. Because this verse reminds us that we are still in temporary physical bodies, but something much greater is coming. As Paul reminds us here, through all that we endure, all the trouble and suffering, here is what he writes. For we know that verse 1 of 2 Corinthians 5, if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, that is eternal in the heavens. I encourage you, brethren, to keep that vision alive. Keep the hope of that coming glory alive, that we took in that word at this feast, that vision. We talked about it and read scriptures about it. And God gave us this wonderful time of the year to help us get that very firmly planted in our minds. So we must keep it alive and make our whole life geared toward the fulfillment of that goal. Let's take a look at Paul's example of how he looked at the goal of what we're all focusing on, that coming kingdom of God. Let's take a look here in Philippians chapter 3. And we often go here as looking for this, or we look at this verse as a very encouraging passage of scripture that Paul writes to us here. What is his goal? As he says in verse 10, this is his goal. This is what he's going for, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, realizing that he's going to go through trouble in this life, just as Jesus Christ did. But all of that is helping him be conformed to Christ. If, he says then, by any means, verse 11, if by any means I may attain the resurrection from the dead. That's his goal, to endure all of it, to endure the sufferings of this life to get there. And he says, you know, I haven't gotten there yet, verse 12 now, that I have not already attained. It's not that I have already attained. It's not that I'm already perfected, but, and there's the verse we like to always go to, many times we go to this, I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. And each one of us has been laid hold of by Christ, and we've answered that call. Now, I urge you now, brethren, as we come back from the feast, to press on to that goal. Press on to the goal, like almost you could say, that's the title of the sermon, press on to the goal. And we could use the example of competitive sport. You know, we all play games of competition, whether it's board games or here in New England, Bible Jeopardy. We've had our softball games here a couple of times. Perhaps you've played professional, or not professional, but none of us are pros, but any kind of sports, football, whatever it is, and you're always reaching toward a goal. I remember when I was in college, my first 2 years of college, I played on the rugby team. Believe it or not, I was on a rugby team for a couple of years, my first 2 years of college, smallest guy on the team. But in all that 2 years, I scored one goal. And I remember it very well. I remember when the ball came to me and I had to just get over that goal line. And using that example of sports and competition and games that we play to reach a goal, using that example, we must press on to the goal. We've been through now an entire Holy Day cycle for another year. And these days, really, brethren, are a gift to you. God gives them to us to help us, to strengthen us, to focus on where we're going. Just as Paul does talk about here, it helps us to keep our endurance. We're not there yet. We haven't attained it, as Paul says, but like him, we must keep going. As he says, verse 13, I do not count myself, verse 13, to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, this is all. This one thing, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And this is what all of us need to take away from this Feast of Tabernacles after we've experienced all of it and the blessings of it, to keep going, keep pressing on. We're coming now into this part of the year where we know the worldly holidays are coming, Halloween being the first one, and we already see, at least in my neighborhood, the crazy Halloween decorations out in the yard. Yesterday, I saw a witch, you know, a flying witch who was kind of smashed up against a tree. It's supposed to look funny, and I guess it is in a way, but we know what it represents is not good. It is a very worldly holiday, Halloween. Then past that, we have into the winter months coming, the biggest holidays of the year for the world, Christmas and New Year's with it. We're going into that period where we're the longest stretch between holy days. And so this is really like a sermon to help us, you know, get focused on where we're going. As Paul says, this is where we're going. Verse 20, our citizenship, verse 20, is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for our Savior, for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will do what? Verse 21 says, this is what he'll do. He'll transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. That is wonderful, brethren, to be transformed, to be like God himself, the same substance that he is, transforming our body into his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able to subdue all things to himself. Now, these are not just words on a page. They are the ironclad promises from God that he is going to do this. He is going to change us into immortal spirit. As we are looking now for that heavenly country, for our heavenly homeland, which will appear, we must go through whatever it is that we must endure, whatever that is, whatever your lot or situation is like in life. At this moment, perhaps you're feeling pretty taken over your body, perhaps by the COVID virus. But you know, that temporary body, which it is, will fade away, go away, and God will give you a glorious body. So we must hold on, no matter what we go through. Keep that vision alive. And remember, brethren, that this is temporary, what we're going through now, just like the feast itself. So keep that vision alive. Keep your hope alive and stirred up within you. In John chapter 5, if you would turn there with me, these are the words of Jesus Christ himself, assuring us that his promises are real. Now, God cannot lie. This is what Jesus Christ says here in John chapter 5 and verse 24. Verse 24 of John 5. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. We know what believe means here. It means not just to believe and go on and do nothing about it, but it means to hear and do. That's what believes means here. To who hears my word and believes, meaning hears and does his word. In him who sent me, he has everlasting life, and he shall not. This is the promise. This is the assurance. He shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. What Christ is telling us here, that you have already passed from death to life. You already have immortality in you through his spirit. And that spirit, brethren, if we are keeping it stirred up, it will become, as Christ said when he stood up on that feast, like rivers of living water flowing out of you, springing up into everlasting life. Keep that spirit stirred up, that vision alive, because you already have it. You already have eternal life. He will certainly change our mortal bodies to immortal. Again, and not just words on a page, but ironclad promises from God. Most assuredly, verse 25, he says, this is how he will do it. The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. And of course, those who are alive, it is coming, will also live if they are Christ at his coming. So our resurrection to eternal life is absolutely assured. And so whatever we endure now, whatever we have to go through now, absolutely worth it. It's absolutely worth it. Let's go and look at a verse. One of my favorite verses for encouragement is Romans 8. Romans 8 and verse 18. Really putting things into perspective. Putting things in a perspective like all of the sufferings and all of the trials we go through now, what do they amount to when compared to the kingdom of God? As Paul writes very beautifully, for I consider, verse 18 of Romans 8, the sufferings of this world, of this present time, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Wow, that's a great promise. That's a verse you could put in your mind and keep there, brethren, and lock it up in there, and you think about all the things you're going through, what you have to endure now. They're not worthy to be compared. God assures you in his word that he will change you from mortal flesh to immortal. That is an inspiring hope. And we again went through this feast to help encourage us in the reality of that promise. Helps us to encourage us to keep striving to attain that goal. There's a beautiful passage in 1 Thessalonians that we often turn to in times of loss and grief. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 talks about our blessed hope. All of the scriptures I'm giving you today, brethren, are familiar to us, very familiar to us, but so encouraging here that what we read here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, speaking of that moment when our goal will be realized, when we have finally made it into the kingdom of God. Verse 16 of 1 Thessalonians 4, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the trumpet of God, as we celebrated on the Feast of Trumpets. And the dead in Christ will rise first, as Christ assures us. And then, verse 17, we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we will ever be with the Lord. Beautiful scripture, inspiring. Another one we could just lock up in our minds now as we head into this season between the holy days, seasons, the end of 2021 season of holy days until Passover and of 2022. And it's inspiring hope that God gives us. As he says in verse 18, use these words, comfort one another with these words. Indeed, we need these words. Our glory is coming, brethren, and it will not be much longer. What we go through now, very temporary, just as the feast itself. What we read at the feast, I'm sure all of us came to this passage during the feast, is Revelation 20, verse 6, talking about us attaining to the first resurrection. That's what Paul was attaining to. That was his goal. If I could just make it there. Blessed and holy, verse 6 of Revelation 20. Verse 6, blessed and holy is he who has part in that first resurrection, of which we just read in 1 Thessalonians. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. How beautiful that is. That's our goal, brethren. That's what we're pushing for. And God shows us these promises in his words. He gives us the feast to help us to visualize this. His word is sure. So keep looking ahead. Keep that vision alive, just like the example of our forefathers. So let's go to Hebrews 11, another familiar passage in Hebrews 11, talking about those who have gone before, who, like us, were looking for something beyond this world, beyond the sufferings of this age. Our forefathers in the faith. Hebrews 11 and verse 9, like Abraham, who dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country. Oh, God told him to go to that land, but that was not going to be his permanent home. He goes to the land of Israel as God told him to leave his homeland and go there to the land of Canaan, actually, and that would later become the land of Israel. And that was not going to be his home. He dwelt there, as it says here, as if in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, his son and grandson, the heirs with him, according to the same promise. For he waited, like we are waiting, for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That's quite reassuring, brethren. Like Abraham waited, our forefathers, Isaac and Jacob with him, they waited, we are also waiting and looking. This is the same for us, just as it was for them. We're looking for that city, and at the feast, we enjoyed a taste of it. We enjoyed a taste of that heavenly kingdom to come. At our feast in southeast France, we enjoyed some of the most beautiful places Willa and I have ever seen. Just tremendous beauty in that area. I can perhaps talk about it a little more at our feast memories discussion, but boy, some of these places we saw just take your breath away. But you know, during our feast, like a lot of the feasts I've already mentioned, we had issues. We had issues with the COVID outbreak. And the way we handled it, our feast coordinator, Mr. Tim Pebworth, called us all for a meeting. Once we found out someone was COVID positive, he called us all together for a meeting outside. And he had to have two meetings because there were French brethren and there were English-speaking brethren. So he had to do the same meeting twice outside and told us what the plan was going to be, about how we were going to contact, trace those who may have come in contact with the two people, the mom and her son, who was infected with the COVID. And we were among those who were in contact with them on the morning that they actually left the feast the first time. They were actually going to go home at one time to take care of her mother. And I hugged the little boy goodbye. I hugged her goodbye. And when they got to the airport, they had to test to get back into the U.S., found out the boy was negative, had to come back to the feast site. And then anybody who ever had come in contact with them had to be tested. And so at about 11:30, I think it was Thursday night, during the feast, there was a knock at our door. And one of the brethren there, one of our sisters in the faith, a nurse herself, came into our room with one of the gentlemen at the feast and took nose swabs of both Willa and I. We were tested to make sure we weren't positive. And fortunately, we were not. Our tests were negative. And so was everybody else who came in contact. After going through that, we carried on. And you know, that little disruption that was, I think, small compared to what some of us have been through with this feast and some of the disruptions people have had to come home in the middle of the feast, it didn't damper our enjoyment. We carried on, and the spirit among us was still positive, still looking forward to what was coming. I think that was the attitude among all the brethren, that they dealt with it and moved on, because we have so much more to look forward to. And this disruption here that we're going through is really, as Paul writes, not to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed in us. Continuing here in Hebrews 11, talking about our forefathers in the faith, verse 13 now, they all died. They're all in their graves. They all died in the faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, like we see them afar off. They were, like we are, assured of them. God's word assures us of them. They embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They were sojourners, passing through. And a sojourner doesn't put down roots. He's not going to stay for long. He's going somewhere else. As they were going somewhere else, so are we. And until the day of Christ appearing, until we have reached a goal, brethren, we must continue to sojourn like them, confessing this is not our home. We're looking for another home, a home to come. As we pass through this present evil age, we're not looking to be a part of this country that we're in now. We're looking for the country to come. Verse 14, for they who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. They're looking for something far beyond. they don't think about or call to mind that country from which they've come out. Skip to verse 16. For now they desire a better, a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them, as he has for us. These are wonderful promises that we can hang our hats on and help us now to endure. Help us to keep that hope alive as we look for that heavenly country. There is some ways to go, though. We have a ways to go before we get there, but it will not be long. So as you pass through the time here of your sojourning, what are we to do? How are we to behave? How are we to act like they did, confessing themselves to be strangers and pilgrims? Well, Peter, the apostle, puts it in even more clear terms. 1 Peter chapter 1, this is how we are to behave until that time. As he writes in 1 Peter 1, verse 13, he writes, gird up the loins of your mind. And that's an image for someone who's traveling and has a garment on, and to be able to travel, he has to hitch that garment up to his waist. And to be able to travel without the garment being obstructing the movement of his legs. And so we do the same. We gird up the loins of our mind. We're not obstructed by the things. And we keep going, the things of this world. And we keep going. Be sober, he writes, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, as he continues, not conforming yourselves to your lusts, your former lust as in your ignorance, our old man, in other words, not conforming ourselves, but as he who called you, verse 15, is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. That's how we are to behave during our sojourning here on this earth. We're not going to be here forever, brethren. And if you call on the Father, verse 17 now, who without partiality judges according to each one's work. You know, he's not a respecter of persons. He knows what you're doing to set yourself toward that goal. He knows how committed you are. He's no respecter of persons. He knows. Therefore, he says, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. And that is godly reverence for his word, applying yourself fully to do his will. The other thing this feast drove home is not only to help us keep that vision alive, but it also points out to us how fleeting time is. The feast itself is very fleeting, just 8 days and it's gone. So the Feast of 21 is in the rearview mirror now. And all of its richness, all of the richness that we enjoyed and spiritually and physically speaking, all of that enjoyment is now a memory. Your life is also like that. It's fleeting, but that's a good thing because it's not going to last for long. Our days are like King David wrote, a passing shadow. James wrote that our life is like a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. It's not long before we attain our goal. Just like the feast is, not permanent as we experience it every year, neither are our lives. And just as our bodies are going to wear out, this world is going to wear out. And what will remain is the immortal spirit that we are going to inherit. 1 John chapter 2 talks about this world passing away. 1 John chapter 2, John writes here in verse 17. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17. This world is passing away. and all the lust of it. And I might add, all the pain of it, all the suffering of it, all the tears, all the crying, all of those things are passing away. But, as John continues, he who does the will of God abides forever. How futile it is to try to hold on to this world and to think this is something that can be held on to. And man, right to the very end, very sadly, is going to even fight God at his appearing, trying to hold on to what he has. How futile that is. But we're looking for a permanent home. A permanent home where there will be, as Christ assures us, a new heaven and a new earth. And when it's fully come, when that home is fully here, we will be immortal spirits in it. Let's go now to Revelation 21. We'll wrap up here in Revelation 21 and 22. As we also wrapped up the feast, this is where we were just several days ago on the last great day, talking about what the kingdom of God will be like when it's fully here, after the 1,000 years, after the great white throne judgment. All who are still alive will be immortal spirits. If you keep this as your goal, you will be among them. You will be there with them. And John writes here about what he sees. I saw, verse 1 of Revelation 21, a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, no longer here. Just like the feast is gone, it's a memory. Our lives will also be a memory, all the suffering and pain, they'll be gone, and this will be the reality, a new heaven and a new earth. Can you imagine being a witness to this cataclysmic event where you see everything recreated? It will be awesome. We can be there. This is awesome and awe-inspiring beyond belief, how God will recreate everything. We must then commit ourselves to reaching that goal. Then he continues, John writes here in verse 2, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, from God, out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride for her husband. And we heard at our feast a very inspiring sermonette message about this holy city, the new Jerusalem, of massive proportions, of massive proportions, with all sorts of precious stones and gold, streets of gold. It'll be beyond belief, that we are beyond our understanding now, but God is giving us this to help us get that vision that we can keep alive in us. And then I heard a loud voice from heaven, verse 3, saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be their God. The Father himself with the Son dwelling with us. Where he is now in his glory will be a part of that now, in this time to come. This is where he wants to be. He wants to dwell with men. This is his whole intent and purpose from the beginning when he created us, to be dwelling with him forever. This is what he wants. And God, verse 4, this is a tremendous comforting verse, will wipe away every tear from their eyes. I don't know how many times I've said it. That section of this verse is on the back of Michaela's gravestone. And every time I go there to look at that stone, I look at that verse. God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. It means so much to me personally, but it means so much to each of us personally, what God is going to do to take away all the sorrow of this life, and the pain. No more death, right? He continues, John to write. No, John writes, no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There will be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. At our feast, our choir, which was just 9 members, but we had some really good voices and a great choir director. We sang New Heaven and New Earth. That's a beautiful hymn. And we sang that at the last service of the last great day, new heaven and new earth, taking these very words of Revelation 21 and putting them to a beautiful piece of music. And then John continues, again assuring us, verse 5, then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write. Why does God say this? Why does he put this scripture in there? Write, for these words are true and faithful, because they are. They are true and faithful. And he wants us to put those in our mind and in our heart. These are true words. Verse 6 of the Revelation 22. Again, he says it again. Verse 6 of Revelation 22. These words are faithful and true. They are, brother. And the Lord God of, verse 6 continues, the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly come or must shortly take place. Behold, verse 7, I'm coming quickly. Not going to be long. Not long. Blessed is he who keeps the words of this prophecy. That means the whole word of God, making it your whole aim, your whole goal to make it there, knowing that it's not much longer. He's coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecies of this book, the whole word of God. And then Christ himself speaks, verse 12. Verse 12 of Revelation 22. I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his works. He knows what you've done. He knows how much effort you're putting in to reaching this goal. I am the Alpha and the Omega, verse 13, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And blessed are they, verse 14, who do his commandments. That would be you, brethren, if you are fully committed to reaching that goal, pressing ahead, pressing on as we go from this feast. Blessed are they who do his commandments, for they will have right to the tree of life, and they may enter the gates into that city. And that ought to stir us in a very deeply profound way. Our hope is real. God is going to do this. How then, brethren, are you going to spend the rest of the moments that you have before your temporary time runs out? We only have so much time. It's not long. And then it will be gone. Use that time wisely. Every moment is an opportunity. Every moment. When God commanded Israel to keep this feast, he commanded them to dwell in booths, to show them this was temporary. Their lives were temporary. Your life is temporary. You have an opportunity now. Just like our forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they looked for a heavenly country, for something much greater, a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So must you. Our lives, brethren, they're not permanent. Our bodies will wear out. We cannot hold on to this existence, but one much greater, an existence much greater is coming. We have a little ways to go, a little longer in our pilgrimage. Who knows how many more days? When I left the feast in France a few days ago, I told the brethren, who knows when we will meet again, but I am certain we will if we all keep pressing on to that goal. Our journey continues now, brethren. After the feast of 2021, the kingdom of God is not here yet. May it come soon. And may you wait with patience for that permanent home to appear. May you keep your hope alive and stirred up within you. This time is going to come to an end. Make the most of your opportunity now. Press on then to the goal.